The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Once upon a time, a pastor tried to explain the Trinity to Sunday school kids. In her own words, this is how it went. "I found myself surrounded by a sea of small faces, all of them ready to hear my wisdom. I had a banana in my hands as we greeted each other. One of the children asked why I had a banana, and it was all downhill after that. I peeled the banana and asked them how many bananas I had. They all agreed that I had one. I asked if they were sure, and they were. I carefully pressed my index finger into the top of the banana, and it neatly separated into three equal parts. I asked if I still had one banana. Some thought yes, and some thought no. Well, I launched into explaining that all three parts were equal and had the same amount of bananiness as the one banana before I had separated it. Little heads nodded. I gave them all a piece of the banana to eat, explaining that they had to eat it because I'm allergic to bananas. And as they ate their banana pieces, I asked the fatal question. "Tomorrow morning, when you have bananas on your cornflakes, what are you going to think about?" One angelic little blonde-haired, blue-eyed, dimple-faced, innocent three-year-old said, "God is bananas." Every preacher has a story like that. Every year, we celebrate Holy Trinity Sunday the week after Pentecost. And every year, preachers around the world try to find the perfect metaphor that will help us to understand our one God in three persons better. Indeed, it is quite a struggle. because to declare it a mystery, which is exactly true, and leave it at that, well, that makes for a pretty short sermon. And while you might be fine with that, preachers tend to like to hear themselves for a bit longer than that, so you can understand the struggle. In this effort to explain the Trinity, there are about a dozen heretical landmines that must be avoided. There's modalism, Sabellianism, tritheism, Arianism, partialism, and more. I will be very kind today and spare you the details of all their definitions. But when you study them, it becomes really clear that we're much better at figuring out what God isn't than what God is. And I will always maintain that this is actually a good thing. God is big and wonderful and beautiful and powerful and beyond our comprehension. If we understood God, then we would become equal to God. And that, my friends, is not what I call a good idea. I am certain of all the things I am certain of this, that God is the best one for God's job. So then, with the firm understanding that we will never fully grasp the wonder and mystery that is the Holy Trinity, I wonder, what do we know? Well, we know that God is one God. And at the very same time, God is three. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. While one, also three, separate and equal and one. The math doesn't really work out, but that's okay. I was listening to a podcast this week, and Bob Goff, he's the author of two books. One is called Love Does, and the other one is called Everybody Always. He said something like this. I may not have it perfectly, but he said something like this. It's like we're looking at eternity through a knothole in a fence. He said, what we're seeing, we see perfectly well. It's just that we can only see what we can see. I think that's a genius image. Because what we do understand about God is clear to us. But what we need to remember is that the scope of our vision is limited. We are human. It's like we're looking at God, or eternity, through a knothole. So when we walk up to the fence and we peer through that knothole, what we do see is relationship. We see a God who is, even within God's self, in relationship. We see Father who loves and communes with the Son and the Spirit, and a Spirit who communes with the Father and the Son, and a Son who is one with Father and Spirit. We see God model for us what is most important in our own lives. I rediscovered this week a song that I love by a Jamaican artist. Her name is Etana. And in her song, she sings about a man who asks money for help. Money, can I get a drink of water? But money doesn't move. Then he asks people for help. And the people, they come through for him. In her refrain, Etana reminds us all. She says, so you live, you learn. Love is the best thing you can earn. So you live, you learn. Money before love, and you burn. What the Trinity teaches us is that relationship is the most important thing. Love. Selfless, humble, gracious, giving love is the one thing that will make the biggest difference in this world. Sure, we can use money to buy some helpful things, but in the end, money doesn't move. People move. Love moves. And we are called to live our lives cultivating and creating relationships with God's children. But as Bob Goff said in that same podcast I was listening to, not just the children of God who look like us and think like us. Goff said, if you want a report card on how you're doing in your faith, then look at how you're doing with the people who don't agree with you. That is a powerful and perhaps convicting reminder that we're not just called to relationships that are easy. We are called to live a relational life. Like the one modeled in the Trinity, we're called to love people, to invest in people, to risk being transformed by people. Because in their face, in their heart, in the transformation that we will surely experience, is God engaged at the heart of human existence. In our bonds with one another is God. When we glimpse eternity and the divine through a knothole, our scope of vision is limited. But what we do see is very clear. God lives in, loves in, and acts in relationship. God models this radical, loving selflessness for us. That is clear. So when we step away from the knothole and instead look at ourselves, what do we see?